good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and the title of today's show is called Fulfilled. You know, it came to my attention. We are all filled with something in life, some desire, some dream, some strong interest or hobbies. We're all filled with something, aren't we? But is it something good? Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And this last verse is Ephesians 5:18. The others came from Romans. Instead of being filled with spirits of alcohol, which often lead to all kind of depravity and debauchery, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, who leads us in the path of right living. Since the stroke and moving to the new place, I have to admit I've accumulated a little bit of clutter and a whole lot of empty boxes. When I first moved here, I'd just been out of the hospital about a month and a half, and I wasn't walking real well yet, so I had a lot to do. Just the unpacking was a lot all by itself when you can barely walk around. So over time, not being able to do my regular duties very well, clutter accumulated, which I'm kind of a clutter bug anyway, or was. I think I'm getting over that now. And while I'm nowhere near ready to star in an episode of Hoarding Buried Alive, it had gotten to a point where there was a bit much, and it had begun to bother me. I had talked to Jerry about it lots of times. And I'd started working on it, but I couldn't seem to get very far on it, so I started praying about it, and I said, Lord, please give me the strength and the motivation I need to clean out and clear out this clutter, to fill up the empty boxes and get them out of here. And can I just say, you need to be really careful what you pray for, because God will answer when you pray in faith, won't he? So the next morning after I prayed this, I got a call from the property manager, because I'm a renter, announcing that the following week she would be here to do a walkthrough inspection of my unit. Apparently they do them every year. And trying very diligently not to panic, I thanked and praised God for answering my prayer and blessing me with such an abundance of motivation. And I went to work clearing the clutter. Setting out to clear the first room, our office and the base of our ministry, I thought about Paul in his ministry as he set out to clear the clutter in his letter to the church of Colossae. Paul's letter was sent as a reminder to Christians of the superiority of Jesus over Jewish rules and regulations, false teachings, or enticing words. Colossians 2:4 says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Those enticing words, that false teaching, had been poured into the church at Colossae, causing many people to add unnecessary and even harmful elements to the Christian faith. Enticing words, like empty boxes, full of nothing. And you know, it reminds me of a vision that God gave me years ago that I call Satan a sin peddler. He showed me that Satan was like a street peddler back in the old days, peddling his wares, trying to get people to buy into it. And he would present them with these beautifully wrapped boxes. I mean, just gorgeous. You know, every once in a while at Christmas, you receive a gift that is so beautifully wrapped, you hate to even open it, right? My mother-in-law has a talent and a gift for wrapping like that, just beautifully wrapped packages. And I saw in this vision, Satan was holding these out, and he was presenting them to us, to the people, as the answer to everything that ailed us, the answer to everything, like a snake oil salesman used to, you know, sell snake oil formulas, you know, that they just kind of made up back in the 1800s. They, oh, this will cure everything you have. This will make you happy and you'll live happily ever after. Well, Satan kind of does that too. And he would hold those boxes out. And then I saw a man get one of the boxes and he carried it away and he was all smiling and all happy. And he went somewhere in privacy and he opened the box and there was nothing inside. It was just an illusion, as Satan's promises always are. So I prayed for God's hand and his help in clearing away the clutter and the empty boxes. Paul, along with Timothy, also prayed, and he asked for God's hand and help. Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might be filled." Fill means to put into as much as can be held, to supply to the fullest extent, to satiate as with food and drink, to satisfy or meet, to occupy the whole of. The boxes and clutter throughout our home were as empty and meaningless as the enticing words and false teachings at Colossae. But like Paul, I sought out God in prayer, asking him to fill me, to supply and satiate, to occupy the whole of. All too often, as with the church of Colossae, worldly principles and ways that are contrary to the gospel find their way into our lives, cluttering our minds and filling our hearts with emptiness. And this reminds me of something the Lord just taught me several days ago. I was praying to him one morning and I said, "Lord, you know, since Mom passed away, I feel so empty inside and I don't understand why." I would drive through one of the local cemeteries and envy the people who had passed on, y'all. It was that bad. Not that I was going to do anything to do myself in, but I mean, life is just a struggle. It's just very hard sometimes. And yeah, anyway, I prayed about that and I said, "Lord, help me. I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel the way I used to feel. Before Mom passed away, I felt full of purpose and, you know, I wasn't necessarily happy and joyful and gleeful all the time. There were still challenges, but I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel like I was dead inside." Well, the Lord showed me that this has to do with grief, and it's something I'll be writing about in the Grief Companion, that it's like the Jonah principle. When you run from God, whatever you run to will swallow you up. Well, with grief, if you don't take your sorrow and your pain to the Lord for comfort, whatever you turn to will swallow you up and it will empty you out. And the reason is because we cannot be filled with anything in the world. We must be filled with him. We must be filled with his word and his ways. So this is what happens when we are not filled, when there is room or space within us, when we are not full. Think about it like this. You have a half a glass of water. It doesn't matter how you view it or what your perspective is, the half empty or half full thing. What matters is if there is room or space in that glass. Room and space for the enticing words of the world and its ways to be poured in. In one of his meetings, D.L. Moody was explaining to his audience the truth that we cannot bring about spiritual changes in our lives by our own strength. He demonstrated the principle like this. "Tell me," he said to his audience, "how can I get the air out of the tumbler I have in my hand?" And one man said, "Suck it out with a pump." But Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum and shatter it." Finally, after many suggestions, he picked up a pitcher and quietly filled the glass with water. "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." He then explained that victory for the child of God does not come by working hard to eliminate sinful habits, but rather by allowing Christ to take full possession. If that glass is filled, if as much as can be held has been put into it, if the whole of it is occupied, then nothing else can be put in there. It's full. And so it must be with our minds, with our heart, with our lives. We must be filled with God to the fullest extent, satiated with his word, his ways occupying the whole of us. So how do we do that? How do we clear out the clutter and fill the emptiness? We begin by asking. Colossians 1:9, praying for you that you might be filled. When God occupies the whole of us, we are fulfilled, filled to the full. Paul prayed and asked for the Colossians 12 things: to be filled with the knowledge of his will, to be filled with all wisdom, to have spiritual understanding and to walk worthy of the Lord, to walk pleasing to the Lord and be fruitful in all good works, to increase in the knowledge of God and be strengthened with all might, to have his glorious power and all patience, to have all long-suffering and joy. And I will add, and you can see what you think about this, I think that this might actually be the order that God allows us to get these things. To be filled with the knowledge of his will. We need, as a starting place, to know what God's will is for our lives, don't we? To be filled with all wisdom. Okay, after we know where we're going, we need to have the wisdom to get there. To have spiritual understanding and walk worthy of the Lord. Okay, when you have understanding, it's a lot easier to obey the commandments. To walk worthy of the Lord, that's walking in his ways. To walk pleasing to the Lord. And that's an inside-in-out job. That's inside you. How God sees your heart, not just your behavior. He sees your heart. So to be pleasing to him, the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart need to be pleasing to him, right? And be fruitful in all good works. Now, if you're walking in his ways, you're speaking his word, it's going to be pretty hard not to be fruitful at that point. To increase in the knowledge of God and be strengthened with all might. Okay, anyway, moving on. When we are doing all 12 of those things, there is no room for the emptiness of this world. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That is the clutter and the empty boxes. The empty promises, the enticing words and ways. Satan the sin peddler. Colossians 2:9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, being God, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. In him dwelleth all the fullness. When you dwell in Christ, and when he dwells in you, so does that same fullness, and you are complete. You are so completely filled that there is simply no room for those empty boxes, those empty promises. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet, which means qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This refers to every promise and provision of the gospel for Christians who are delivered from the power of Satan, for believers who are filled with Christ. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translated into the kingdom. Translated means we are delivered. We are delivered from Satan and his power through sin and are placed under the government of the Son of God's love. Those 12 things Paul prayed for under our government, think of them as the 12 articles of our Constitution, 12 articles of our faith, under the government of the Son of God's love. And I just want to point out here, the number 12, 12 is the numeral of manifest sovereignty, or divine government. It speaks of the administration of divine government here on earth. And because it is divine government, it is perfect. God is perfect. And when we are filled to overflowing with his perfect love, there is no room and no place for the imperfections of this world. Whereof I am made a ministry according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. I share in Paul's labor for the church, as many of you also do, for the body of Christ and his work for the Lord. Okay, this is a story shared by Stan Martin of Cherry Avenue Christian Church. On April 28, 1999, just 8 days after the Columbine shooting, shock rock singer Marilyn Manson was scheduled to perform a concert in Iowa City, Iowa. And since Manson's music was prominent in the lives of Columbine killers Eric Harris and Dylan Kebold, there was a lot of emotion surrounding his concert. Mark Forstum, a local youth minister in the area, wrote about what happened. He wrote, "The police, the media, and the community began to prepare for angry protests and ugly brawling between Christians and Marilyn Manson supporters. Suddenly, something totally unexpected happened. Emerging through the vehicle of email, another local movement suddenly sprang to life, that the only way to truly change our moral climate is to soften hard hearts. The hearts of Manson fans have been hardened by their perception that Christians are mean-spirited, hateful, and judgmental. Thus, the idea was birthed to unravel that stereotype by encouraging Christians to show the pure love of Christ to these fans in tangible ways." Concert day finally arrived, and tension filled the community. The media geared up for an ugly battle between Manson fans and the Christian opposition. Instead, what they observed here was an amazing testament to the power of and the love of Christ. Scores of Christians from churches all over Linn County and as far away as Des Moines, 2 hours away, converged on the sidewalks outside the Five Seasons Center to do two positive things: pray and to show unmistakable love. It was a sight to behold, he wrote. Groups conducted prayer walks around the arena. People prayed in huddles on the sidewalk. Churches around the city held special prayer meetings. As for showing love to the fans, and I love this part, one church purchased 100 pizzas, which were freely given away to the fans in line and bystanders. Cookies and over 1,200 cans of soda were purchased or donated and distributed. Someone made turkey and cheese sandwiches and gave those away. One pastor asked Manson fans who passed by how he could pray for them. About 20 shared specific things and were prayed for on the spot. After the concert, about $200 in cash, collected mostly by a local youth group, was given out to pay for parking in the parking ramp. The Christians involved said, "We're Christians and we'd like to show you God's love by paying for your parking tonight." The immediate results of this love in action were phenomenal. People continually asked, "Why are you doing this?" And then listened to the answer. Two live radio reporters, one inside the stadium and one outside, discussed on the air how preferable it was to be outside with the generous Christians. At least three people gave their lives to Christ through the loving care of the Christians. At least one other fan that they know of chose not to go to the concert, ending up in church on the following Sunday. After getting the pizza, one kid commented, "Wow, Marilyn Manson never gave me anything." A Marilyn Manson website reporting on our Christian response admitted, "So maybe those Christians aren't half bad." I love that article that he wrote. As for the concert itself, they saw God work a miracle there as well. After only an hour, Manson abruptly ended the concert early. He suddenly flew into a rage, threw his microphone to the ground, and stormed off the stage, never to return. So to summarize the totality of Marilyn Manson's visit to Cedar Rapids, they might say this: many fans came to the concert convinced that Christians were irritating and Marilyn Manson was impressive, and many left the concert feeling that Marilyn Manson was irritating and Christians were impressive. I share this to help us remember that we live in an empty and fallen world. We, as Christians, are to help fill that void. We need to show the world what our glorious Savior really is like. Otherwise, many will never know. So let's talk about what are some of the signs that you are filled. These signs are by Dan Kale of Evangelical Friends Church. If you look at Acts 2:37-47, there you will find the six signs of Spirit-filled living. When we are walking in the Spirit, there is a sanctified hunger in our lives. In verse 42, it talks about these early Christians were devoting themselves to the things of God. There was a hunger in them that fed on spiritual things. Quote, this, and this part's not his quote, "not the TV, not the world, but on spiritual things." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." They were continually devoting themselves to spiritual things: teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, communion, and prayer. These were things that they were hungry for. Paul draws a distinct contrast between those who are in Christ and those who are not in Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. When we are not walking filled with the Spirit, our appetite is not for spiritual things. Our hunger is for the twisted things of the world. The more our lives are controlled by the indwelling Spirit of God, the more hungry we become for the things of God. Number two, powerful presence. Verse 43. I want to focus on this sense of awe. Signs and wonders are wonderful things. And I believe when we're immersed in the Spirit, those things will flow out from our lives. But the reality of the power in this early church is the awe they felt for God. There seems to have been a continual amazement at the power of God to transform the world around them. Do you remember what it felt like when you first became a Christian? For me, there was a constant sense of awe that God was so big and He was so good and that He knew who I was. I wasn't invisible to Him, even though I had been so bad. That He could love me was an extraordinary thing to me. Number three, intimate fellowship. Verse 44, the fellowship of the early church is extraordinary. They didn't just worship together, they cared about each other. And they needed to get deep with each other, not just shallow smiles on Sunday morning. Okay? 432, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's unity. For there was not a needy person among them. Number four, real worship. Verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. These were people who loved to worship. They loved spending time in the presence of God through worship. They were hungry for the fellowship of the Word and worship. Today, church has become one responsibility on a long list of many. When our lives are filled with the Spirit of God, worship is not work, it's what we live for. Worship in the Spirit is about wanting to, and it's exciting because you never know what God's going to do next. Number five, impacting testimony. Verse 47, having favor with all the people, the testimony of this church was making an impact on their community. The people in the community were being impacted by the power of their testimony. We should be a people that touch our world in a positive way. And y'all, we have so many more avenues to witness for Christ through than the early church did. We have the internet. We have all kinds of, we have cell phones. I mean, we have all kinds of ways that we can tell other people about Jesus. Number six, true expansion. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The true focus of the Christian life, that we should bear fruit unto righteousness. Church is not about us. It's about leading people to Him. Being filled with God's Spirit energizes witnessing, produces joy, and induces worship. That's by Steve Shepherd of First Christian Church. Okay, I want to read y'all another story. I just love stories. Dr. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ tells the story of a famous oil field called Yates Pool. During the Depression, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man named Yates. Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage, so he was in danger of losing his ranch. This was out in West Texas. With little money for clothes or food, his family, like many others, had to live on government subsidy, on help. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would pay his bills. Then a seismograph crew from an oil company came into the area and told him there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential to flow of 125,000 barrels of oil a day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased that land, he had received the oil and mineral rights. Yet he had been living on relief, a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem? He didn't know the oil was there, even though he owned it. Many Christians live in spiritual poverty. We are all entitled to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and His energizing power. But some of us aren't aware of our birthright. And those who are lost are even less aware. I share in Paul's hope and his prayer for each and every one of you, that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that you would be filled with all wisdom, that you would have spiritual understanding and walk worthy of the Lord, that you would walk pleasing to Him and be fruitful in all good works. You would increase in the knowledge of God and be strengthened with all might. You would have His glorious power in all patience and all longsuffering and joy. I pray that you live so completely in Him and you are so full of His love and His Spirit that there is no room for the emptiness of this world or its ways ever again. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening. May God richly, richly bless you and save all those that you love. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Hi, this is John Morgan. You've heard me talk about my book on this show, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Since I like books signed by the author, it occurred to me that you may too. If you'd like a copy signed or inscribed of the newly edited book, just go to americasjudgment.com. Once on the homepage, you'll see the order button just below the cover. That was americasjudgment.com.